So this whole season that we start this year, we've been trying to focus on what we've got God saying this year. We really believe God's saying there's a year of breakthrough. Anybody could use a breakthrough this year? Yes. All right. Then part of what we're trying to do is get the tide to rise so we actually believe it. Because one thing God requires is us to believe. And so I think, and we're going to talk about it today, how he tries to frame and reshape things so that even in our mind we can see things he kind of wants to do and can get on board and agree with it. So as a part of that whole process as well, we're doing worship night this coming Tuesday night. So worship is always a main part of what God does. When God wants to move, worship is just the core, the center of it. So we invite you to come out this Tuesday night, and we're going to worship together. And also for the month of March, we're going to meet here. We used to do this years ago. We had a ministry that did it. And we're going to meet here on Saturday afternoon from 6 to 7, and we're going to pray. And it's always a delight for us to go through, lay hands on these chairs, and just believe God for whoever's sitting in those seats, for God to move in their behalf and minister to them. But we also will do things like prayer mapping. And by prayer mapping is, it's, I have a program many of you do where it's a mind mapper, and so you just map out, throw the little arm out, and so you can put different areas. So we take the church basically in the different areas of prayer, and people can pray over areas that really are, they're passionate about, children's ministry, you know, the college age, whatever ministry they want to pray about, what's going on in the church. And so it also will give those of you who could use that as an experience base, that would give you some good way, because it's always a great thing. You can prayer map your own self and your family and that kind of stuff. But it also, for those of you who would like to either better yourself or learn how to pray, I would encourage you to come, because this is not for the way expert prayers. You know how you learn to pray? Anybody, you know how you learn to pray? Well, praying is one thing, but then better than that, or in addition to that, maybe I should say, is you come and you pray with others and you watch them pray. You know, you're just around people that pray, and you pick up how to, and just so I'd encourage you to come for 1 hour. We're going to pray for the month, for those four Saturdays in the month of March, all right? So I'd love to have you out for that. But all of it, again, is, and you'll hear more about it today, as we keep tracking with what we believe God is saying for this year. At least in my files, this particular joke that I'm going to tell you, I have my files for the year 2013. And so I don't know if I've told it since then or not, but if I haven't, it's one of those that it's not bad to highlight every now and then. It's just that good. I took my dad to the mall the other day to buy some new shoes. He's 66. We decided to grab a bite to eat at the food court. I noticed he was watching a teenager sitting over next to him. Teenager had spiked hair and it was all different colors, red, green, orange, blue. My dad kept staring at her. The teenager kept looking back at dad, and so this stare-off started happening. Finally, the young teenager turned and sarcastically said to dad, "What's the matter, old man? You've never done anything wild in your life?" Knowing my dad as I do, I quickly swallowed my food so I wouldn't choke on it. God knew he was going to have a response, and so he did. He looked, without batting an eye, he says, "Yep, I've done stupid stuff. One in particular, got stoned when I was young, had sex with a parrot, and I was just wondering if you were my kid." Seemed like we ought to have some distance between that and scripture. Turn around, say hello to somebody, greet somebody, do something. I want to take a look at Abraham in this unlimited series where we are. And again, I'm going to talk for a few moments and we'll come back and worship. But Abraham is mentioned in chapter 15, and he says these words at the beginning. And the Lord, it says, he came to Abraham in a vision and said, "Don't be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, I'm your seed and great reward." But Abraham basically said to God, he said, "I don't have an offspring, and Eliezer is my senior guy in my staff, and So I reckon the offering is going to have to come from him. Verse 4, so the Lord came and says, no, that's not going to be the heir. The heir is going to come from your own body. And now we're looking at a 75-year-old man plus. And so in verse 5, he goes on, he says, I want you to come outside. And I want you to look now toward the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And then he said to Abraham, and so your descendants shall be. And now Abraham responds. He believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him, would you say it with me, for righteousness. I believe God wants to speak to you this year. I believe for every one of you who are, you hear God sometimes, you hear when you read, sometimes when you somebody's preaching or through worship, and it would not be that unusual. I still believe God wants to speak. For those of you who would say, Mike, I wish he would, because I don't have a clue what that's like for God to really speak to me. I believe he wants to speak to you this year. I think he wants to communicate with you. I think the whole purpose of God's agenda for reconnecting with you and I is so he can have a relationship with us. Relationship with no talk is no fun. Relationship has communication at its basic source of and roots of it. And God, I think, is communicating a lot more than we hear, a lot more than you and I tune in and dial in. I really do believe it's much like they say we have radio waves going through TV waves or other kind of waves. And as long as the machine is turned off, you never dial in and never come across. But the moment you cut the receiver on, and the moment now that receiver comes in contact with the signal that's been going all along anyway, all of a sudden now it's dialed in. And now you hear something. It's been there all the time. It's not that the wave just started. It's just that the switch got cut on. The attention was there. And now you begin to hear and pick up. I think that's true. And part of what I want to do with you is bring an awareness to you to turn the switch on. That this, going into this year, is a time where I think we want to lean into God. Put our heart close to what to his chest. Listen to what he's saying. Because I really think, like Abraham, he wants to talk to us. I just love these verses when I come across them. You know, when it says, and after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Is that unique to Abraham? No. Now, and even in Abraham's life, it came in different ways. Sometimes it was a vision, sometimes it was a dream, sometimes it was just... But nevertheless, the word coming to us is an important part of our life. And then it says three things to him, which wouldn't be bad things at all if God would say these things to us about this year. I think they're true. And that is that God says to Abraham, don't be afraid. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if somehow God just whispered to our hearts, said, don't be afraid this year. This year, 17 is a year of no fear. Don't be afraid. Relax this year and trust in me. No fear this year. I don't know who that's for, but somebody needs to, you need to latch on to that because that's a good word for you this year. It is. No fear this year. I'm going to trust the Lord this year. He goes on to say, I'm your shield. Don't worry about your back. I got your back covered. Don't worry about all the stuff that's coming against you. I'm your shield. I'll stand before you. I'll cover you. I'm your covering. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. I've got you covered this year. Can you imagine if that word came to your heart, how much more settled you'd be and relaxed inside, and how much you could just go through life with the peace of God? How rich your life would be if that word just settled down inside. And then it says, I'm your exceedingly great reward. There's a reward for you, and I'm a rewarding God. I want to give you stuff. I want to reward you, but my reward is me. Can you imagine at the end of the year, and you walk with God, and God all of a sudden shows up and goes, ta-da. You know what you get? You get me? I think that's about all we need. I think the fulfillment will come from that. I'm your exceeding reward. I am. Now, it's important that Abraham, at this stage of the game, hears God. Because when I look at the whole pattern of what's happening, I see that God spoke to Abraham at one time, and then a time goes by. And then I see God coming back and revisiting him. I wonder why. Well, it's communication, sure. It's relationship, sure. But it's also, friends, that at a particular time in our life where God wants to build our faith. And you know how God builds your faith? One way he builds your faith is by speaking to you. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. And so when you're hearing the word, as you're hearing now, with God takes the word and speaks to your heart to it. Really, if any of you here say, you know, I think God's saying that to me and he's speaking to me. You take that word, then you'll walk out of here and your faith will be strengthened if God speaks his word to your heart. Because that's how faith comes. Now, Abraham is going to walk out of this encounter with God with his faith stimulated and him believing in a firmer foundation than when he started. Now, that's what I think God wants to get us ready for this year. Because, the old saying, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be where you always, you will. So something needs to shift in terms of, okay, God wants to do something, but he probably wants to speak to you, get your mind off of something, on to something else, and get his word into you so your faith will rise. It's interesting that at the end of this, that it said Abraham believed God. Why? I think the capacity to believe is there, but I think the stimulation God gave him then stimulated his faith, and now he latched onto it, and he believed. But see, I'm interested in the process that Abraham went through, that God took him through. Now, watch God working with Abraham. And it's God's trying to get him along down the field, and he's working with him like he works with you and me. Let's watch him working with God. It's important for Abraham to hear. God wants to communicate with him, to help show him what he's going to do, stimulate his faith. So here's what he does in verse 5. He brings him outside and says, I want you to look toward the heavens. I want you to count the stars. See if you're able to number them, he said to him. As you're looking and you decide you can't number them, I want you to know that your complaint to me was you have no offspring. My response to you is your offspring is going to be as the stars in the sky. Abraham, I know where you're living, but I know where I'm living. I know your reality, but I know my reality. And I got to get you over on my side. I got to get your thinking like my thinking. I got to get you to see what I'm seeing. Work with me, Abraham. Work with me here. What does he say? He says, I need you to position yourself so you'll understand me more. So you can cooperate with me more. So your head is more aligned with me. And it won't fight me so much. And I'm doing this. Here, now work with me, Abraham. Come on. Come outside. Why? Why have I got to go outside? Can't you be inside my tent? Well, yeah. But you know, Abraham, the present seemed to be blocking you from your future. All that you're seeing through your eyes right now confines you to the small space where you're living, where you're doing life, how you view things. And I've got to enlarge you so that you see things differently so I can get in there and now do something differently. Because if you don't see it different, Abraham, I can't do it differently. You will stop me. The confines of what you're seeing are too small for what I want to do. The confines of the present is what keeps you from seeing the vastness of your future. You've got it shut down in this small tent the last few years of your life. What happened in the last 5 years? It's all shut down. You're living within the last 2 years of your life. That's your whole life. You're living within the last year of your whole life. And I want to tell you, I'm bigger than that. I got more going on than in this small tent, but your head is stuck in this tent. I got to get your head someplace else. Take a trip with me, Abraham. Take a trip with me. You got to come. You got to see something. I want you to imagine this with me. Him walking out. And now the stars. You imagine Abraham looking at the stars. Cannot figure out what God's up to. God takes him on a journey saying, I want you to see stars. I want your mind to see something that you're not seeing. I want to take you someplace that opens you up to something that's where I live continually. That's my reality, and it's not hard for me. And it is going to be your reality. You just don't know it yet. But I've got to work my reality into your reality. And the first juncture of this is you've got to get out of your present head, and you've got to see the possibilities that I want to show you. So I want you to look at how numerous these stars are. I want you to look at them. And I want you to see if you can you imagine going out on the hills out around Sinai, the Judean desert, someplace over there where there's no lights, no nothing. And you walk out of your tent, and it's the brilliance of a night sky with billions and billions and billions and billions of stars that was flung by God himself. And now Abraham's last words to him in complaint was, I don't have any children. And God said, that's where you live. Let me tell you where I live. Your children will number the stars here in the heavens. Question for you real quick. What are you living in right now that is confined so small that if God could get to you and speak to you, that the number of things he has for you, be it relationships, be it finances, be it fulfillment of promise he's given you, would be no more numerous than you're seeing even around here besides the heavenlies? What if you're afraid right now you're limited to? What is it that you're afraid will not happen? What if that thing was in fact multitudinous like this, and God said, you're seeing such a small part of it. I've got to take you out of your tent. I got to speak to you. I've got to give you a new vision so you can cooperate with me. You've got to see it. I wonder how many are like that. And first of all, he said, well, I can't see. No, I can't count them. He said, yes, it's impossible. But what's impossible with you is possible with me. Come on over, Abraham, get with me. You know, sometimes God brings out your present surroundings. Some of you made a physical move. And you know why you made it? Because God had to get that other stuff out of your head. He had to shut something down so he could open something up. And it's interesting that God said, I want to speak to you. Go out and look at something natural. There's a lot of ways that God speaks to you, natural stuff. You know what? A lot of ways that he gets figured out how to get through and how to connect with us. And I think he'll do that with you. Now, what's interesting is he going down this verse and it says, and Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you'd asked me, everybody seemed to have a life verse, you know. If you'd asked me, Mark, what is your life verse? It probably would be that verse. And here's the reason why. That growing up as a small boy, I became a Christian. And then later on, I really got confused with the church. And part of my confusion with the church is, you know how kids do. If kids see stupid stuff in church, they think God's kind of mixed up. You know what I mean? How many of you know it's not God, it's his kids. His kids are screwed up, but God's fine. When his kids do dumb stuff, then you think, well, God's kind of weird. When people are judgmental, you think God's judgmental. When people are unloving, you think, you know, God's unloving. So it's hard as a kid to separate what's God and what's not. And so, consequently with me, this whole thing of working hard to be right, working hard to kind of, for your own rightness with God, trying to do good and not mess up. Anybody know what it's like to be on a treadmill where you run yourself silly and stupid, and you're out of breath, and you cannot do enough to be righteous no matter what? Anybody know what that treadmill is like? You get so tired of running on that sucker. That's where I was. I was so tired of running on that thing. Trying to measure up, do right, and live up to people's expectations, all kind of crazy stuff. And so I was in a Bible study, and this lady and said to me, because I'm sitting here dealing with this stuff inside my mind, she says to me, she said, Mike, the Lord's going to speak to you tonight. I said, well, good, I'm open for that. Yep. And so after the little Bible study, she says, let's go in the next room. So we go in the next room. She says, sit down, God's going to speak to you. I'm all ears. So she opens the Bible and starts reading. Well, she's reading out of the book of Galatians, but the same verse that we're reading here in Genesis is quoted in the book of Galatians. And so I'm sitting there and she's reading along. And I'm thinking, okay. And all of a sudden she read these words. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And guys, I am telling you, it is literally like that passage formed a missile head and came up off of that page, and it went right inside of my heart and just exploded. And it was like, I knew somehow, by revelation, I knew that Abraham made a decision to believe God, and his belief slid over into an account of righteousness that says paid in full. And it was not his behavior. It was his belief that got him there. And it absolutely rocked my world. I went to Bible school later on. We studied through this stuff in the Greek. I sat in class and just loved to work through it. It was great. And it complemented what the Lord had revealed to me. But it wasn't as powerful as what happened that night in that Bible study when God spoke this verse to me. And you believe God. And your faith is accounted as your righteousness. Now, Abraham, later on, chapter 18, it's a story where I like it because in the first verse there it says, and the Lord visited Abraham. The next verse, it says three men shows up. It's when the three guys show up and they come down and they're going to check on Sodom and Gomorrah and see if it was as bad as they thought they were. But when they go by Abraham's place, it says, and the Lord visited him. And then the three men, which means one of the three men was the Lord. We think it's a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Christ. And so one of those guys was God. Abraham said, come eat with me. And he did. He went in, they ate. And then they're leaving. And now here's the phrase I want you to notice with me. The phrase is they started talking, and one of them, which was the Lord, said this, shall we hide what we're going to do from Abraham? And the answer was no. In other words, what I'm doing, God said, I want Abraham involved in. I want him in on. Now, apparently this conversation started in heaven. They started talking about this before they got to the earth. But now it comes to earth and said, we not have Abraham to be involved. How much do you think God wants you involved in what he's doing, what he's up to, and what's going on? He wants to partner with you. You're not an outsider. He wants a companionship with you to do this. Now, as he's talking through this, I want you to look at verse 17 with me of chapter 18. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing I'm about, what I'm doing? Now watch the verse 18. Since Abraham shall surely become the great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. I want you to connect with me a couple of words. Since he will what? Become a mighty what? So will he do it? Now I want you to watch this with me for a moment. Look at this with me. God takes Abraham. He's here in the present. Watch this. And he goes to the future. And he says, this will happen surely. And then turns around and speaks to Abraham and says to Abraham, Abraham, this is where you're going to be. Surely you will be here. But I'm not there now. But this is a call to says, come this way, because surely you will become all that I said you will become. Stood in the future and spoke to him in the past. Now, that visitation and him showing up, friends, is I want you to see something in this. That he sets up this place from a finished work that he will do, and then calls Abraham to it. Abraham on one side, or you and I can say, but you don't know. Look at all, I'm not perfect. I'm messing up. I'm not getting there. I got all these things happening. Whoa. God has no trouble living in the future just as much as he is in the present and just as much as in the past. Yes? So from a future place, he said, oh, Abraham, you're going to make it. Surely you will make it. And I'm speaking to you from that place. You're going to get there. That's the reason the Bible says that we are complete where? In Jesus Christ. And from a completed place, he looks back at us and says, come on. And we are over here saying, oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to never make it, you know. And God says, I'm here. You're going to make it. I'm here. I see you. Surely he will be here. You're going to get here. I'm living here already. Oh, no, but I'm back there. I'm back there too. But see, God said, I'm not schizophrenic. You might be, but I'm not. I can live in those places fine. In the future, I'm here. But watch this. Abraham, you know all this stuff you told me and you were concerned. Now I'm here to tell you that in 1 year, in 12 months, you will have a son. All this is up, and I'm just showing you to show you a few things. And one of them is all these years that you've been through, in the next 12 months, I'm going to do something that's fulfilling a promise for you. And I just wonder if that's true of anybody here. There's been something on long-term hold and long-term coming. But if God would show up and he would speak, he would say, you know, you'll never guess what the 12 months holds for you. In 12 months, your whole life can turn around. In 12 months, something can happen. Now, this right here, folks, now listen to me. This right here set Abraham up for the rest of his life. This right changed his whole world from that point on. This visitation. I wonder what he wants to do. I wonder what he's saying to you. That from your future, he's calling you. Well, I don't know. Whoa. He's there. So what I want you to do is, who's got a phone? Anybody got a phone? No, you got a phone. Here's what I want you to do. In your mind's eye, I want you to go to where God says, this is what I have for you. What do you believe God's got for you? Ask him about it if you're not clear on it. Ask him what he wants for you. Ask him what he wants your life like. If his will came to pass for you, what would it look like? Hello? Oh, I love you too, sweetie. Anyway, you got the call. You get the call. I'm going to answer some texts too, if you don't mind. I'm buying for lunch. I'm buying a pastor's lunch. No, okay. Here we go. What is it? Listen, everybody. If you do what you always done, it's always going to be. You always get what you've always want. Had that. Wake up. Wake up this year. Get engaged. Ask God, what is it you want from me? What is it you want? Share your dreams with me. Talk to me about my life. Talk to me about my marriage. What does God want your marriage like? How many of you believe your marriage can be better? Now, everybody in the weekend, lay raise your hand. Don't worry about that. Don't be. I know it can be. Don't think everybody gonna think you got a bad marriage. It's just not as good as it could be. What does God want, right? Now, here's what I want you to do. Take a snapshot of that future place. There it is. And then I want you to let that future place, let God create a pathway to say, come on, I'll get you there. Because, see, I know what it's like to be there. And I know what you're like for it to be there. And I will get you there if you trust me. One last thing. But I really messed up. What does God say? You forgiven for your past? Yes or no? Yes. Don't mess with me now. Don't get religious on me. Have you been forgiven for your past? Yes or no?
Yes.
Totally 100%. Yes or no? Have you been forgiven for your future sins already?
Yes.
Yes. So if you mess up tomorrow, then deal with it tomorrow and get forgiveness and move on. Amen. Don't live back there. Take a picture of the forgiven life. Bow your heads and let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, as we move to this worship part to close this service, there's a way that you said that signs and wonders, which this is another way to say your spirit moved, validating the word that was spoken. That your spirit moved and just confirmed what you're saying. So I think you're saying that to us, what we've talked about today. And so I pray as we worship you now, would you do a second part of this and would you open our heart? And would you allow this word to drop down in our spirit and be part of our life so that every single one of us, when we walk out of here, that we walk out of here with this word having been ingrained a part of us that we'll take out in Jesus' name. All right, for every one of you who got here and you were where Abraham was, and I'm telling you, God wants to speak to you this year. He wants to do something new thing. You say right back to him, but I've been walking with you all this time. I don't have a baby yet. Figuratively speaking. Now, for every one of you, I want you to hear. He responds, I know. But the stars are about to come out if I can get you ahead some other place. And when you see the multitude of the stars, you're going to open up for a future you didn't even know you had. And stuff are going to begin to change, and things are going to begin to happen. And you're going to begin to live a quality life if you can open up and let me get in there. If you can do that, friends, and let you get a snapshot of your future, and then I will develop a pathway there. And if you will follow me, I'll get you there, because I'm already living where you want to be. And I'll get you right there with me. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to close your eyes for a moment, bow your head. Anybody here, you need to open your heart to Christ. And maybe you think, Mike, I want to take this journey. I do. I really believe God's got something for me, but I've been doing it on my way, my terms. And I really believe that the Lord spoke to me today and said, I need to surrender my heart. And that he's got something for me, and I'm going to follow him to that destination. We're not going to embarrass you anyway, but if you want to do that, to open your heart to Christ, just lift your hand right where you are. Just lift up your hand. All right, one over to my left, on the balcony up here, to my far left over here. Number of hands going up. Anybody else? Or to my right over here. Two hands over here. Anybody else? Two right here in this section, and two more back here. Two more right here. Very good. Bold moves, everybody. Anybody else before we pray? Right at the back here, I see one. The far left up here at the balcony, there's two hands. Right here in the middle section, sir, a good move. Anybody else? Right back here. Right here, sir, good. Good move. Good for you. Anybody else? Right here in the back. Back here. A real sense of God moving right back here in the very back gate. Good for you, sir. Right up here in the middle. Young lady, there's another young lady. Just raise your hand right here. Right here, sir. Good for you. Good for you. Anybody else before we pray? Put your hands down if you would for everybody. Anybody else before we pray? Just real quick. Anybody else? Right in the back, very, very back, right up to my right. Yes, I see your hand. All right, for all of you who lifted your hands now, we're going to pray together as a congregation, but this is your prayer. So let's pray it together. God Almighty, I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on a cross for me. And I ask him to come now to wash me of my sins, to cleanse me and make me whole, to come live in my heart. And from this day forward, I'll serve him. And when I die, I'll spend eternity with my brothers and sisters, God the Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, 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 guys. I'd love to say hello to you, those of you who received Christ. And I'll be right out at the hub, which is right in the foyer to the left over here. Right after service, stop by and say hello. But we're not dismissed yet. Before we go, let's just reiterate what happened. And for the rest of you who need this, this would be a great takeaway for you. Because I'll tell you what, there's nothing more powerful than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you agree? Amen. Jesus is in your future, where his plan for your life is maxed out. And he looks back like he did to Abraham. He says, now come. Come. You will get there because I'm there. Have faith. Be obedient. Come on. Lord bless you. Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. And may you be a congregation this year of visitation. And may this be a year where what He has spoken to you finds fruition. May this be a year where what has seemed slow will speed up and come to completion. May this be a year where the thing that He has promised you will be birthed, and the promises of God is yours. And may this be the year that He will be Himself your exceeding reward. In Jesus' name. Be blessed, everybody.